has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good. It's always different preaching to your family. It's always different.
Better or worse?
Just different. Different. Not better, not worse. Thanksgiving is a great feast. It's not a Christian feast. Really, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with our faith. But it's one we celebrate because, in the church, rather, we have a mass for it, because it is the very center of what it means to be Christian, what it means to be Catholic, what it means to be who we are as a people of faith. Thanksgiving is at the very center of who we are. Michael, when you think about Thanksgiving, what do you think about? What's the first thing that pops into your head? You're a smart kid.
Peace with the Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think about that, and little Riker just had a program all about that. He got to be the pilgrim, sing really loud. And Leah, what do you think about when you think about Thanksgiving?
A turkey.
You think about a turkey. That's right. Is the turkey? Does it have feathers on it, or does it not have feathers? It. Which one is it? Is the turkey alive, or is the turkey ready to be eaten? He's a live turkey. That's good. That's good. So you're thinking of the turkeys that President Obama pardoned yesterday. I know their names. They're Tater and Tot. Tater and Tot. Wow. They come from Indiana. I watched that. Wow.
I also think about the
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. And that's an important aspect. And you know, that's why I knew you were super smart, so I don't have to ask anybody else in the family what they were thinking of. How my dad was thinking about how the Cowboys are going to destroy the Redskins. And how he's going to earn another bottle of George Dickel. Yeah. So these are things that are on our minds. This is what we think about when we think of Thanksgiving. Think about all the great food over there. Think about Nona's amazing spaghetti sauce. Mm. Think about all these great things, the wonderful confections that the Watkins family always makes for us. These are things that are always, always upon it. But for everybody, Thanksgiving isn't always a thing of great joy. It's good to have our family back together, but for a lot of people, it's actually a thing of distress, I think a hardship, for the very same reason, because those same family members come back together. And that makes it hard, because there's not a single one of us who has the same mind as the person next to us, or the person across from us. We're different human beings. And because of that, there's conflict. You know, you don't always get along well with Leah, do you? Perfectly, Michael? Sometimes you fight, right? Yeah.
Most of the time.
Okay.
It's kind of in the middle.
I was a little bit generous, you're saying. Oh, okay.
It's kind of like...
Well, you weren't as bad as your second cousin as a priest now. So there's still hope for you. There's still hope for you. Now, because of that, there's all sorts of strife. And when we look out in our culture today, we see all sorts of strife, especially during this time, during the month of November, because we had a very contentious election, right? Half of our nation is against one another. It's as though some of the readings that we had during the week, which talks about Jesus coming back, we see rumors of wars, insurrections, riots, lots of horrible things that are going on. What we need is we need healing. See, our election season was so contentious that it really did turn brother against brother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Cousins against cousins. Got really violent. But what the people were asking for, that's kind of the way that you can see that they voted, is that they just wanted a change. They just wanted something new. They saw that something wasn't working and wanted to try something different. And that caused lots and lots of problems, as change always does. If it was up to me, I would live in a little hut that would be no bigger than from here over here. One side would have a little hole for a confessional. The other side would have an altar for me to celebrate Mass, a little tiny bed, and I guess the outhouse would be outside. somewhere over there, and I would never walk more than 30 feet away from that little hovel. I would stay there all the time because I don't like change. I would just hope people would feed me. I would just stay there the whole of my life, and I'd be 100% content, because change isn't always a fun thing. Like Yoda. I would be like Yoda. Yeah. Except for I'd be taller and less green and probably not as smart. And I would not be as good with a lightsaber. I cannot fly or use the Force. So very much like Yoda, but also very much not like Yoda. I'd also not live in a swamp. Mm-hmm. If I could.
So you just live inside this house?
Exactly. A cave would be even better. See, but change is sometimes scary, and that's what we're experiencing in our time now. But every time there's a crisis, it doesn't always mean that it's a bad thing that's going on. Let me tell you a story about a woman by the name of Maria Rossi. I believe her name is Maria. I could, but I'd need your mom and your dad to help me do a compostable toilet. That way I could figure these things out. Now, there's this woman by the name of Maria Rossi, and you'd probably be really interested in her. She's an amazing vocalist. She can sing really beautifully. And would travel all around the country to be able to do this, to participate in beautiful operas and wonderful symphonies, just showing off her voice. That was the way she made her living. She did this all throughout the 80s and 90s, but in 1994, she had an accident. And they had a surgery which they performed on her, which sadly went very wrong. Actually, it caused her to lose her ability to sing. She couldn't continue on with that. And even worse still, you know, her ovaries were damaged as well. And she was sterile from that point on, could never have kids, which is really a hurtful thing for her. So she's left in this state of not knowing what the future's going to be. My whole life has been built around singing and doing well and being so successful, but it's all come crashing down. So what she did was she got to a point in her depression and she said, "Look, God, what is this? What am I supposed to do with my life? I thought I had a trajectory and it's not working out. Where am I going to go?" After some time with that, she finally said, "Look, what can I do? Well, I mean, I guess it could have been worse. At least I survived the surgery." So that lightened her mood a little bit. And then she said, "I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of it." You know, she was stuck in her room, couldn't leave her bed for a year. At the end of that, she said, "Look, one thing I know I do have a gift is God's given me a really good ability to be able to work with young people. They like me and I like them. And maybe I can step outside and do a little substitute teaching." And so that's what she did in Southern California, the San Fernando Valley. She began teaching, and she was always given assignments to these very underprivileged schools. In the worst places where the young people were involved in crime and grew up in bad situations. And she liked the teaching so much that she took a job, but they sent her to the worst possible school in the entire district. All these problems. During this time, she also got deeper into her faith. She began to talk to God, read her scriptures really well, pay attention to her catechism lessons, and really try to find out what God was calling her. And her eye alighted upon a scripture, which was really good. She really liked the scripture from Matthew. And in Matthew, it says, whatever you do for the least of my dear brothers and sisters, you do it unto me. And that just kept coming up over and over and over again during her first year teaching. But when she looked around, she saw all of these kids were getting lost in difficult situations. She saw that they were giving in, they were having, even though they worked hard and they were decent young people, they were going really bad in their life. Their family situations were atrocious, and there was nothing for them but either dealing drugs or getting involved with drugs in some sort of way. So their lives were headed down. She remembered what Edmund Burke said in her studies before. He said, the only way that evil persists is when good people do nothing about it. And she said, I have to do something to help these kids. So what she did was she immediately went to the local church that was there and organized a program where the kids could stay there in a safe environment and they would get some help with their school, just to work on their math, to work on their science, to help them do better in their reading, get a little counseling, but also in a safe place where they could just come anytime and hang out rather than having to be running around on the streets. Now, that ministry is called Fire and Cloud, taking from Exodus, how the people of Israel were led out from Egypt, from slavery into freedom, by following a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That community, that ministry serves 500 kids every year to help them change their lives. It's amazing success. And because of that, not only did she receive that blessing of being able to give back out of this, but she also received a blessing in a new way. Remember what happened to her? What were those bad things that happened to her? Do you remember Leah? Where this woman had that surgery and she was really hurt? Her voice wasn't able to work well. Do you remember what else, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She couldn't get out of bed for a year.
Mm-hmm. And also, she couldn't have children, huh? So it was even worse. Well, in the first couple years, she and her husband, working with this group, what they did was they took a liking to some of the kids, and especially to one young man in particular, and they really poured all their things out because he was one of the ones who was furthest lost in all this. And they finally did, through many efforts, get him to be able to graduate from high school, do well. And at the end of it, she asked him if it would be all right if they adopted him into her family, because they felt so close. He had been abandoned by his own family. So they did. He entered into their family, and now he actually does the same thing, working in that ministry, giving his life so that others can have the same sort of change that he experienced from the love of this good Christian woman, Maria Rosa. There are some good things that happen within the world, and here's change. You know, in our world, we have lots of difficulties and hardships, but the reason why she was able to do this and make that change was what? First, she recognized that there was a problem within her own life, and she looked at God and realized that not everything was taken away. That she still had something to receive, but also something to give. And that was what led her out of this. So out of these moments of distress that we have in our lives, these hardships, especially in our community, in our nation, no matter how bad it may seem on the surface, if we really pay attention, turn to God and give thanks for the things that we actually do have, then good can come out of that. But it starts first from thanking God and then moving out from that and doing the good which God has called us to do. Saying, what in this situation has been taken away, but what's still left? And what am I called to do with what's still left? As we count our graces and our blessings today, this Thanksgiving, see much good food over there. I haven't eaten all day, so my stomach's rumbling more than yours is.
Not more than Nona.
Not more than Nona. Tough to beat Nona on anything.
That's true.
Man, so we gotta.
Does your tummy rumble too?
So we gotta catch up. So don't worry, we're not gonna take much longer. But I want us to think about those things. Think about those things that we do have to be thankful for. And if there are things that are distresses, hardships, difficulties which we're experiencing during this offertory, we place them on the altar and say, God, transform this. I don't know how to do anything with it, but make those into yourself, that I may receive whatever blessing it is that you want me to get, so that I too may pass that same blessing on to others. That's what it means to really have the Eucharist. That's what it means to give thanks. That's what it means to be Catholic. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.